I'm telling you, if you know any, a lot of you know about serving, even if it's just going to your job, but being somewhere every week and ready for that is really a blessing. So I just commend these guys for doing this every week. It's really a blessing to us. So this week, in the vein of Gideon's journey, have y'all been finding it helpful to read through chapters 6, 7, and 8 every week? All right. Yeah, I see some people like, I haven't been reading it. Are you going to call me out? No, I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to encourage you to read it. It will make the message so much more engaging if you read it every week, especially if you go back over what we've been doing, what we've been discussing, and just look at it in the light of the text. We're laying down some principles based on Gideon's journey, and Gideon's journey is one you will find that is much like your own. And as I told you before, we will begin every week with, who remembers which verse? You guys remember? Chapter 8, verse 28. Remember, we're going to begin with the end in mind. Okay? So I just want you guys to remember that. We're always going to begin every single message throughout this series with the end in mind, which is Judges chapter 8, verse 28. And it reads, "Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they, the Midianites, could not lift up their heads anymore. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon." All right, so I'm reading that every week so that no matter what you hear, you can understand that this is where the Lord is leading us towards rest in your life, rest in your heart, rest in your home, rest on your job, rest in your community, rest in your business, wherever that is, rest in your health, that you would understand that God's ultimate goal for every single one of us is rest and quietness. Okay. So last week we did the whole 7 steps to revolutionize your life. Was that helpful? Okay. So we ended that message on Gideon having to make some very difficult choices. He had to walk away from his daddy's idols. He had to walk away from the gods of the land, the prevailing thought, the prevailing things that everybody around them worshiped and everybody was cool with. Gideon had to make a choice that not just at the risk of losing people outside of his house, but at the risk of severing a relationship with his own father. That he had to say, God has not ordained me to live in a cave with bats and beetles and eating the crumbs from what I planted because my enemies are eating everything that I'm doing. God did not make me to live that way. Amen. And so at this point, he's made this decision that I'm done. I'm done. He went out there, even though it was by night, and he pulled down the image of Baal. He cut down the grove like his God told him to do. And he said, you know what? That's it. I'm done with this. And I don't know if you know how it feels, but it's a tough thing when you have to go against somebody. I mean, most of us don't even want to confront somebody on something on an idol that is in their life, let alone go and tear it down for them. We know that's true, right? You know, and I mean, sometimes it doesn't even have to be on anything spiritual. It could be on your job. You just want to tell somebody, will you put the pens back in the cup instead of just laying them on the counter? We don't want to do things just as simple as that. Let alone saying, I'm getting ready to tear this idol down in your backyard and cut down your little grove where you worship. Whoa, that was pretty bold. This week, we're going to turn the corner and we're going to do a little subset in the series called Embracing the New, because this is what he had to do. Gideon was living a certain way. He had learned to think a certain way. He had learned to accept certain things. But where he was living, what he had embraced, and the consequences of that were not only things that were not to his benefit, but they were not what God ordained for his life. It was not doing him any good. He was a man who should have been in leadership. He was a man who should have been leading people the right way. He was a man who had people working and moving in the right direction, but no matter how hard they worked, they couldn't eat from the labor of their own hands. And not only could they not eat from the labor of their own hands, they couldn't even live in the land that God had promised them. They were living in caves while their enemies lived in their land. Now, we can look at that real practically right now as it relates to the kingdom of God and where are we in the school systems and where are we in the legal system and where are we on the police force? What type of influence do we have in our community? What are we doing? Is darkness running over our communities? Is darkness running over our homes? Is darkness running over our hearts? Or are we boldly, triumphantly living the life, experiencing the benefits, enjoying the blessing that God has provided for us? So Gideon was in a place where he was not. And he got to a point where he said, man, this is what it is. I just got to scrape what I can scrape out of this and hide it from them. They too strong for us. There's too many of them. And finally, we know the story. If you listened to last week, 7 Steps to Revolutionize Your Life, you hear that Gideon was approached by an angel and he did this first thing in embracing the new that Gideon had to do, which was he had to embrace. So what we're going to talk about over these next few weeks is what you have to embrace. And the first thing and the only thing that we're going to talk about is Gideon had to embrace a new identity. Now, I just want you to think about that, because Gideon was thinking one way. He was living one way. He was believing one way. He had accepted things to be what they are. And he even declared when the angel came and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. His comeback was, not only is my family poor, we don't have anything. And out of all my family that is poor and doesn't have anything, I'm the least of all of them. I'm a nobody. So we can see right now the implications of an angel coming to him. And if you have your Bibles open to Judges chapter 6, you can look at verse 32, that not only did an angel come to him, but after Gideon made this profound statement to his daddy, his family and his community, I'm no longer worshiping y'all idol. Pulled him down, burnt up the grove, and then built an altar to God and made a sacrifice out of his daddy's flock to his God. Verse 32, his daddy on that day called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him because he has thrown down his altar. Now, I want you to think about this. Not only did an angel come and re-identify him, but then his daddy turns around and says, you are no longer Gideon. And you read the rest of the story. If you keep reading it, you will see it. It'll say Gideon, who is Jerubbaal. Gideon, who is Jerubbaal. Name change, identity change, embracing a whole new name, a whole new life. It's what Gideon had to do. Now, Gideon had already been repurposed. He had already been re-identified. The Lord told him back in verse 12, he said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, Gideon had his thoughts about that. Gideon said in verse 13, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Look at what verse 14 says. And the Lord looked upon him, said, go in this thy might. Now, who has a different version than that? I'm reading out of the King James. What does yours say? Yeah.
6:14, right?
Yes.
6:14 says, and the Lord ordered him, go with all your great strength and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I myself am sending you.
So he said, go with your great strength. What does yours say?
Oh, I can pull up a different verse.
Oh, what does yours say? What does yours say, Rebecca?
Mine says, but God faced him directly. Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you?
Now think about this. He says, where are all the miracles? And God says, go in this strength that you have. Now, did Gideon sound like he made a real strong comeback? Like, Lord, we could do it. Because I'm a boss like that. He said, nah, we've been forsaken. Gideon had his own thoughts. The Lord just ignored his feelings. Gideon felt like he couldn't get it done because of his situation. Gideon felt like nothing was going to change because of what he had been in for so long. Gideon felt like because of who he was and who he had been his whole life, that there could not possibly be a different future for him. Gideon felt like, man, look, we might as well just brace ourselves to just keep living the way we're living and not do anything different. Did that mean that Gideon didn't want anything different? No. Did that mean that anything couldn't be different? No. It just meant that Gideon needed to embrace something different. Gideon had to embrace, first of all, a whole new identity. He went from Gideon, you're not going on your own. You have the strength you need, and I'm going to go with you. But it was this feeling he had. You know, some of us make the mistake of thinking that we have this feeling in our heart, we have this burning passion to do something, and we don't even realize we're kind of arguing with God. See, a lot of us don't know that when Gideon got done with this conversation with this angel of the Lord, remember, it was after the whole conversation was over that the fire came and consumed the calf and the broth off the rock. That's when he realized, I just saw an angel of the Lord. So that meant he looked like what? He looked like a man. I don't know how many times you had some random man come and talk to you and tell you something. I don't know how many times you had a random thought that when you got through thinking the thought, it just kind of captured you and took you out of your situation and took you and you saw a whole new future. You saw yourself different. You felt different. But somehow after that inspiration that was divine pushing you in a certain way, you can somehow talk yourself out of it. You had fire burning in you to go start a Bible study or to go help the homeless. Or you had a fire in you to stand up among your peers. You had a fire burning in you. But somehow when that angel of the Lord leaves, you are discouraged about doing that. Now you're thinking about what you got and who you are and how many times and did you embrace your identity? It's a whole new identity that Gideon got. Now, I'm going to side note, because here's a possible reason why we can have a inspiration, a moment with God, whether it's some random person, whether it's some random message, or whether it's some random revelation that God just comes and visits you with a dream, or just drops a vision in. Y'all ever had that? God just drop a vision in your heart and you're like, oh, I can do that. I'm totally going to do that. Well, here's why possibly it could happen. Remember after this incident happened, that his daddy came and spoke to him and gave him a new identity. Look at verse 33. It says, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Sometimes we have these divine moments with God, and our identity changes in an instant, because you do know that the Bible is very explicit when it says that you and I are new creatures in Christ Jesus. It says, just like we were planted in the likeness of his death, we shall be raised up together in the likeness of his resurrection. That we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. The old man has passed away. All things are become new. You a new person. And you felt it. Even if it was only for a moment, you felt it, you received it, you embraced it. But now once you embrace it, remember, the Amalekites, the Midianites, the children of the east, they ain't going nowhere. Your situation might not change. The people around you may not change. You might be in the same situation that you were in, but do not mistake that because the things around you don't change, the people around you don't change, it seems like you're going through the same struggles, that you didn't change. You are a new creature. Now, I'm sure that just because Gideon's dad came out and said, you are now Jerubbaal, that he didn't just instantly change his feelings. And you will notice down the road, he ends up in dialogue saying, are you sure we can do this, Lord? I need a sign. I'm a little scared here. It's a whole lot more of them than it is with us. Now, I'm not questioning that we can't get it done, but I just need some affirmation and some confirmation going forward if we're going to do this. But one thing Gideon didn't do was reject his identity and his new mission. Yeah, he had questions. Yeah, he had concerns. Yeah, he had fear. Yeah, he had a whole lot of feelings about what God was saying to do. And yeah, it did seem overwhelming and very tough. And it was a completely different way of living for him. But he kept the conversation going. Gideon had to embrace his new identity despite how he felt, despite his current situation, despite his ability or inability, despite his resources, despite his history, despite his family, despite his education, despite his friends or lack thereof, despite whatever it was, he had to embrace his new identity. Identity changes aren't new in the Bible either. I don't know if you checked, but you remember what Abraham, the father of our faith, the man who had the reason that all nations would be blessed because of him, you know what his first name was? It was Abram. Do you know when that change in his name came? When he was in a struggle. Y'all should read those stories. Like Abraham was walking along the way. And the angel of the Lord came up beside him and said, Abraham, you know I am your shield and your buckler, and I'm your exceeding great reward. Abraham said, yeah, but all I got is this Eliezer. Y'all know that story? Well, the story goes that God had promised Abraham a son. Well, this was over a decade later, still no son. You promised me, God, I'm supposed to have a son. All I have is this dude. And I said this with a D too. I meant to say that. And after Abram embraced his new identity as the father of many nations, who would father a child out of his loins by his wife, God changed his name. Jacob wrestled with an angel. After that wrestling, changed to Israel. No longer a supplanter, you are a nation. Saul, Paul, persecuting Christians to building up the body. John and James, how about them? Two regular guys turned into Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Jesus gave them that name. Simon turned into the rock, Petrus, Peter. Your name is no longer Simon. You're Peter. You're a rock. Do you know that Jesus, if you read in the book of Revelations, the Bible says that he's going to come back. He's going to get us glory. Hallelujah. Out of the mess. No more taxes. No more little stickers on my car. I'll have wings, maybe. And I still stand by it's better to fly than to transport for my teenage guys over here who argued me up and down. I said it was better to transport than to fly. I mean, teleport. But Jesus says he's going to come back. He's going to get us. He says, I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of my God. That means that there'll be some people think that I'm going to make you a pillar. And it's like, no, that's stuck then. No, he's going to make a pillar in the temple of God for you. There's going to be a remembrance of you in the temple of God, a pillar for you. And then he says, and then I'm going to give you a new name. And then I'm going to tell you my new name. Name changes, even into eternity. And that's Revelation 3:12. If you want to read that. And not only did he say he's going to tell you what his new name is, for all you super Christians, he says he's going to write it on you. There'll be tattoos in heaven. I know I got some parents like, did you? I don't advocate. I'm just saying. He says, I'm going to have my name written on my thigh. So on his thigh will be written the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, right? I know I'm digressing, but just. So do you see it? Gideon had to embrace his identity. The only way that Gideon could get up off his duff, come up out of the cave, walk into the new, was to embrace his new identity. Practically speaking, yes.
I have a question.
Yes.
So that sounds like it's something that's easier said than done. So
it definitely is.
So, like, how would you, what would be the steps, I guess, process you feel like that one would have to take to embrace?
That is an awesome question. So she said that sounds easier said than done. What is the process to actually walk that out and live that out? Okay, well, if we look at Gideon's life. Now, all of this with Gideon happened in a very short period of time. I don't know why Christians think it takes 38 years. But in a very short period of time, God told Gideon, you are no longer the man that you think you are. You're going to go. Now, embracing is as simple as, and I'm not saying as easy as, but I'm saying as simple as, I have to sit down and mentally process that I am going to walk in what God is calling me to. Gideon had to make a decision to turn away from the idolatry of his fathers, to make a public statement by tearing down his altar and make another public statement that he would worship God by building a temple to God. And then make an offering on it. Now, what does that look like day to day for me? Okay. Let me think back, because a lot of you guys are Christians. I mean, it's true. I think Christians struggle with this kind of stuff the most, because it's like, what do I do now? What, you know, because usually with the Christian, it's I stopped sinning. I only cuss maybe once a month. I'm not a slush anymore. I don't do drugs. I don't rob. You know, so we got our little checklist. But here's what Christians fail to do. What was Gideon doing? Gideon went from being a non-voice, sitting back, letting his enemies rule things, to look at verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Say, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is next week. He went from sitting back, letting his enemies eat his food, to blowing the trumpet saying, let's go get them. And that's the difference. I mean, I don't think that's not rocket science. It's your enemies are there. God is with you. Go do something about them. So with Christians, what I do is rather than err to the side of saying, here's exactly what you should do, like, because most of the times Christians know the fundamental things they should be doing. Study your Bible. Read your word, get into a fellowship, stay connected to the body of Christ and everything else. But now what we do with our prayers and our study in the word and our fellowship has to go outside these walls.
So in other words, be a doer
of the word and not just a hearer. Mm-hmm. So our Christianity can't be locked up between our houses and the grocery store and the church. Well, we just look good and we don't cuss nobody out. And somebody maybe after you die could have guessed you was a Christian. Like, yeah, he probably was a Christian, because I didn't ever hear him curse or anything. They could say that about a Buddhist. So how do we go after darkness? We preach the gospel. We heal the sick. We reach out to the lost. We cast out devils. I mean, we are now the people who are not sitting back, but we're going out. And that's what Gideon did. Gideon knew God. He knew the stories, but it wasn't enough to just know the story. I mean, because really, he could have said to him, you're going to do something. But he came back and said, yeah, you know what? I just had an encounter with an angel. I had a great time at church. I was really moved by what happened in church. So help me hide this week. And you have people in your family and on your job and in your neighborhood that still don't even know you're a Christian. Still haven't heard your voice. Still would have to wonder, would have to guess, would have to ask you, are you a Christian? And so the difference would be when you walk into a room of people, let's just say people that know you. They don't come to church with you. We got high school students here. If you walk into one of your classes, do more than 75% of them know you're a Christian? If they don't, you're not doing. Well, Brother Aaron, I got to go to class and I have to do my math. I can't be talking about that. Now, you got people getting kicked out of class for talking about what's going down the street. You can't tell somebody about Jesus and you have at least 30 minutes for lunch. Right? Well, you can talk about anything. We go to work, we have our lunch breaks, and for whatever reason, when we get into the lunchroom or whenever we need to be politically correct. We have people that can come through our jobs and they can say whatever they want to say. They can talk about their night in the strip club or their night at the bar or how they cussed out. They can talk about anything they want to, but the minute we start talking about Jesus, now all of a sudden we wrong? No, that's what we got to do. Amen. And so I know y'all deal with me like in this setting, and because y'all love the Lord, I'm not all in your face and all down your back, because most of y'all are pretty civil. But I tell you what, you get crazy out there as a sinner, I don't mind saying, you know what, that's not going to do any of us any good. Yes, Jay.
I have a question.
Yes, sir. How could God tell Gideon that he could do this when Gideon didn't think he could do it? That's a good question. So if I rephrase your question, just changing one word, why would God tell Gideon that he could do this when Gideon didn't think he could do it? Can I answer that question? Because God said, you go, it's in you. You don't really know it. It's in you. I know it's in you. But beside that, I'm going to go with you. So when God says, I'll be with you, he's not saying, yeah, and I'm just going to watch you get slaughtered. I'll be there to watch you fall, Gideon. If you fall, I'll clean up the mess. No, he's saying, I'll be with you. And I got this. So that's why he's saying it. And so that's where, when we go back, when you go back to last week, and one of the notes was, we have to believe. What was one of those? Believe that God would be with us, working on our, it was yeah, one, some.
Believe God is at work on I believe my behalf, even if I've made a mess of things.
Right. So even if I just like, I'm just a mess. God is saying, go. I don't care about your mess, your messy heart and your fears and your doubts. All I want you to do is go. I want you to open your mouth. I'm going to give you a prime example. I confronted these people one time, and these people knew. This was like real early. I did not know much of the Bible at all. And they were just all over the Bible, and I'm kind of like, I can't answer that. I can't answer that. But I'm doing my best, because God said, confront them. And I was confronting them, like, all I knew was what they were talking about was not exalting Jesus Christ. I'm like, that's not about Jesus. Y'all into something else. And I don't care how much Bible you use, it don't make it Jesus. So they end up saying this one thing, and miraculously they made this one statement that it was all about his name. And miraculously, I just opened up my Bible right to the place where it says, the Lord has exalted his word above his name. And they couldn't say another word. And so that was my first time experience. God, when you God send you to a battle, you don't have to feel like you're all equipped. He said, I will go with you. And so you just got to believe it, you know. But most of us, the comfort zone is, okay, I got my gun, I got my rifle, I got my shield, I got everything. I went through my training. I'm ready to fight. Now God sends you out. You ain't ready to fight. He is. Yes.
So we could just have a process, and mm-hmm. I'm putting that in quotes. Mm-hmm. You would say that first you need to believe, to make the decision to walk that way, and then third, be a doer of the word and go beyond the comfort zone in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So we could just process it.
Yep. So first believe. What was the second one?
Make a decision to walk a new way. Walk in that new way.
Right.
And then the third one is be a doer of the word and go beyond your comfort zone in the name of the Lord.
Yes, go beyond your comfort zone in the name of the Lord. Yes. So I don't know if y'all saw it on Facebook. That's what I actually had. Or did I? Did I make it? It was like a chalkboard, and one bubble here was your comfort zone, and the other bubble there was your new life or something like that. And then it said embracing the new. Yeah. Okay. Y'all need to go to the Facebook page. You're killing me. Y'all hound me about communicating. Then I communicate. You got to check it out. All right. I love y'all anyway. I hope this makes sense. All right. So embracing your new identity. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Okay. I have the Spirit of the living God living inside me, who is ready at, in a moment. He said, Jesus said, don't even think about the words. That's what he told his disciples. He says, don't even think about the words that you're going to say, because in the moment that you need them, I'm going to give them to you. So at that point, then, when we know what we're supposed to do, go out, be a voice, be a light, shine. It comes back to, do you believe God is going to deliver on his word? That's really what it comes down to. And we have to believe that he will. I can attest to it. He will deliver on his word. I've walked into moments where people need to be healed, and they were healed in a moment, instantly. Some of them weren't. You know, I remember one guy, he had a big sty on his eye. Now, I'm just walking into a store, and this guy greeting me has a big sty on his eye. And I mean, like, it's like that long. And so, heal him. All right, hey, sir. Now, how awkward is that? I don't know this dude. I'm in a store where people are being greeted, walking around us. Let me pray for you. Guess what he said? Yeah. Right here, right now. We don't have to go out to the car, pray for that brother. Just believe. I came back 2 days later to check on him. I said, I looked at it. He was like, he didn't even wait on me to greet him. He's like, man, it's not gone, but it's soft. Feel it. I'm like, I don't know if I want to touch it. he's like, feel it. But he showed me, he was like, it's going down. When I went back, he didn't work there anymore. One more story. One lady, I got a lot of these stories too, but this is one too. This lady, I'm standing in line in the store. She's the cashier. She's got eczema. She looks so miserable. I felt so sorry for her. And so I get up to the line. And so now, I'm not saying that every time you see somebody sick or something like that, that you need to be trying to, I'm saying you need to listen. I heard, pray for her right now. Put my stuff through. Say, hey, I'm going to pray for you in this thing right now. I said, what is that? She's like, it's eczema. It's driving me crazy. So I said, okay, I'm praying. Now, I'm in line. It's people behind us, and they looking like, I do not believe you're finna hold this line up like this. So I'm reaching over the register, okay? Pray for this woman. Come back to check. I'll make this a real short story. Come back. I get up to her line. She stopped checking the person out. She was like, look, it's gone. It's gone. I'm just saying. So that's what God is saying. Do you know, first, that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus? Second, have you embraced your new identity? I'm forgiven. I'm connected to God. I got power living inside me. I'm going to shine. I'm going to tell the world about Jesus, and miracles and wonders and signs going to follow me everywhere I go, because I know the King. I ain't trying to dictate nothing. I ain't trying to make nothing happen. He didn't say, and you going to make signs and wonders follow. He said, the ones who believe me, the signs and the wonders are just going to follow you. Sometimes it ain't even about praying and doing all of that stuff. It's just the signs and the wonders just going to come. So one more story. This woman had breasts. She had a lump. And she was dealing with, it was, what do they call it? Malignant? Is that what they call it? And so now this person, because I want to give y'all a different variation of how healing can take place. So this particular woman, the Lord never had me pray for her healing. Guess what he had me do? Meet with her like 3 times a week. All right, open up to the book of Ephesians. And we opened up that Bible and went over and over and over again who Jesus Christ is. And one day she just told me, it's gone. Gone. So, no touching, no praying, just the word. That was the Lord's way. So, I don't want to make it seem like it's only one way for things to get done by the Lord. So, all right. So, let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your blessing in our lives. Help us, Lord, to embrace our identity, that in Christ Jesus, we are new creatures. We are new creatures. We are forgiven. We are connected to you. You love us. You will never leave us. You will be there with us all the way, just the way you were with Gideon, to see him all the way through his messy heart, his fearful thinking, his inconsideration for who you are and all the stories, you still were with him. But God, we know one thing about Gideon. He acted. He went. And so we ask you, God, what do you want us to do? Show us what that is. We will do it, and we trust you to do what you say you'll do, which was to never leave us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. All right, praise God.